It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Sports Shop, Reese and K-Mac. Man, we rocking out this morning. We're having ourselves a good time on the longest day of the year.
Yeah, we just, just went over that.
That is unverified, of course.
It is. I'm verified. I just went through, Pam, you see that? I went through that. I sound really intelligent when I was saying that. And he just shoot me down.
I was about to come back to you for further verification.
I mean, yeah, it's verified.
Let me tell you.
It's verified. So there you go.
The longest day of the year, especially for Pam. It's going to be a long day.
You ain't lying.
It's going to be a long day.
Now, them people get you over there and they keep you because they're concerned about you. What we going to do? They get you over there and keep you. What we going to do?
I don't know what you're gonna do.
Yeah, who on your call is? Who they gonna call?
The first person is my sister.
Okay, they're gonna call your sister. Your sister know you going?
I'll tell her when I leave.
Make sure she
know
you going, because them people gonna have to call, because they gonna let you out there.
They're gonna say again.
Yeah, they gonna
you're here again.
Because they told you last time. You come back one more time, then we're gonna have to keep you.
They did not tell me that. Do not take it. Stretching for the morning.
The reason I'm giving Fall Risk a hard time is because, once again, the firm wasn't so firm.
Ooh,
nice.
Nice. Okay,
real nice. That was good. That was good with that.
That's how you do it.
I didn't do it. You the one broke your ankle in water. Who breaks their ankle in the water?
Yeah, Pam, that does sound kind of different. I'm just saying. I mean, it happened. I know
there are freak accidents all the time.
Yeah, but you have them all the time.
No, I do not.
You have them all the time. You do.
I mean, that's like somebody
like
saying
one a year.
You cut
now
yourself
it's been
on
two.
You cut yourself on your pillow.
Who does that?
Exactly.
Likewise, it sounds very similar to what you did yesterday.
Okay.
I was just saying.
You sprain your ankle in the water.
Sprain your ankle in the water.
Whew, that's a tough one, there, hang on there. We love you, though. It's all, hey,
I appreciate that.
I was just concerned. You know, I just want to make sure they got the right contact on your little bracelet.
Yeah, they do. They'll call Niecy.
So they know who to call.
She's watching right now.
Okay, well, Niecy, you're going to go get her because they ain't going to let her out.
No, I've been, because of my mom's situation, I've been investigating, you know, Life Alert and stuff like that, all those sorts of services. Yep. And it's many of them because, you know, she's at home by herself. And stuff.
Right. Kind of like me.
Do I need to email you some information? Do I need to pass it all to you?
Yeah, that's what my nephews are going to do.
Can we get a 2-for-1?
Good point. I could probably get a discount.
Yeah, my nephews are going to pay for that.
Oh, okay. Okay. There you go.
That's what they said again last night.
Oh, we probably should. Man, we talked about this guy a few minutes ago. Look like he's blessed us with his present. We got my main man H on the line. What's going on, H? How you doing,
Good
man?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Pam, we got a different octave. Good morning. How are you doing?
That's good to hear. I'm glad you're doing okay this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And for the mother two jokers, keep my name out your mouth.
I love it.
Why we gotta be like that?
Come on, H.
I guess this is a sports show, so I guess I'll talk a little sports, which I know nothing about anymore. I just want to talk about this series that just passed.
Okay.
You know, even though I wanted Golden State to win, I wouldn't mind if Boston won.
Okay.
New York guy. That's what
I was thinking.
New York guy. That accent's Boston.
Hold on. Growing up where I grew up at, I mean, sports was like kind of mundane because it was something everybody did. Mm. You know, you didn't sort of have I didn't have an alliance for any particular team.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Okay.
You had two major teams in every sport. You know, it might have been kind of hard. Nevertheless, with Lenny Wilkins, Casey Jones, I wouldn't have been upset if Boston had won. You know, just like I was telling K-Mac, you know, 1964. You know, you see things that are kind of monumental, you know.
1964. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Starting lineup for the Boston Celtics in 1964 was, you know, it was an interesting visual.
Okay.
Interesting visual. But I called, my phone wasn't working. I said, maybe my wife shut my phone down. And then I called the show and they said, you got to wait for a hard, we got a hard time out or something. I'm like, they don't want me to talk to you. Nevertheless, I'm so glad to hear your voice, Pat.
Nice to meet you, H.
You know what, H?
Well, no, I'm going to meet you.
Watch out.
Hey, get off the phone. Get off the phone, man. Go back to your man, Kate.
Get back. I can't watch the show at home no more.
Hey, why is that? Hey, tell me, why is that the case?
Who that? That mother.
What happened?
Why you want to know who that is? Oh. Not because of his intellectual oratory.
Oh, somebody asked. Oh,
wait,
that's
man,
right.
Who asked who that is?
Who asked that question?
That woman at the house.
you got a woman at the house.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You keep on, Ace. You're going to continue to hide your mans. You keep on.
Let me tell you something. As long as you don't mess with my cigars and my coffee, I'm good.
There you go, man.
All right, Ace. Be good, man.
That's right. Y'all take it easy.
You too.
That is H.
Bye, hun.
H, we was on the weekends way back in the day. He had his own segment. He's called in, had his music playing in the background.
The man in the mirror.
The man in the mirror. Oh, wow. Sometimes you got to look at the man in the mirror.
And then he will give some highlights.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
I like that.
Good guy.
It's like, all right. Man, it's got to be something. When you say, you know what, you can keep my medication, just give me my coffee.
Coffee and my cigar.
And my cigar, he said.
Exactly.
Smart move. I ain't mad at H, though. Yeah. What he doing. So, hey, real quickly, did you get a chance to see the Golden State Parade?
Good question. I did. I got some comments about that. I thought, You know, Klay Thompson is an interesting dude.
What? Now, you know, he jumps in the water, too.
Yeah,
like Pam did.
Yeah, but he didn't hurt his ankle.
He comes out, you know, rejuvenated.
Right, it's healing for him, and that's what I was trying to do. I was like, if Klay can go to the water and come and, you know, hit 26 or something
he's still single too. By the way,
I heard that. I didn't know if that was true.
Yeah.
He's a different kind. Yeah, of guy.
Yeah, Klay. But he was drinking that hen, the Hennessy, and he drank a lot of that hen.
Ooh.
And he to the point where he had won his world championship rings on.
It came off.
It came off in the middle of the crowd.
Uh-oh.
Also, he went from feeling nice to getting real, real sober real quickly.
Like, where my ring?
He jumped down the floor and started looking for his ring.
Like, hold on.
The better question is, block or charge?
block or charge. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a block.
It was a block, yeah. Or charge, yeah. Knock somebody over.
Because I'm
going
to get that. I'm going to get that.
You got, I mean, man, that ring, no, those rings are.
Yeah, I'm going to get that.
No, thousands of dollars, so he had to go get that. Then he also lost his. He came to the doggone parade on his boat, which is that's boss move there. He pulled up on his boat.
And that's bad.
That's nice.
That's nice.
That's life of a bachelor right there.
What about your boy Day Day to sign the show out before he said that he wasn't going to come because there wasn't, a speaker? At the parade or something, and then he came at the last minute and had some very choice words to say on air.
Yeah.
So Day Day, look here, Dre.
Day Day,
you came real close to being Mr. Irrelevant in this series.
No, not according to
D.L. Reese. He did too.
Not according to me.
He did too. Of course not.
Average of what? 2 points.
At best.
Wait, somebody. Yes.
Average at best.
I mean, what did he do?
Ooh.
To the last game.
Ooh.
I mean, he did it when it counts, but just saying.
Say that again.
He came through when it counted.
I rest my case.
But they had to get to that point. Really, they needed help to get there.
It should have been a sweep. If he'd have played like he should have played the whole series, it should have been a sweep.
He played when it counted. Jason Tatum did not play when it counted.
Yeah, but okay. You beat up on the middle schooler.
Okay.
All right. Jason Tatum was still in,
the most important player.
He was in the ninth grade when they won that first title.
The most important player on that team is Draymond Green. The most valued player on that team is Stephon Curry. Point blank. I'm done with that.
He just be making us.
Now, you notice how he added Steph in there. This is the first time he added Steph and J-Day.
Oh, trust me. He think this is over. This ain't going to be over. Nowhere near over.
But this is the parade. Everybody celebrated good back. Everybody was. Steph Curry said some really nice things. G was right. Day-Day was kind of out there. You know, he say crazy stuff.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Trying to be different.
And Andrew Wiggins was very graceful. But I think Iggy, this is last year, they trying to, he was going to actually take the
assistant coach out?
Yeah.
Yep.
But my man kind of came back. Atkinson.
I ain't going nowhere.
Atkinson, whatever his name, yeah.
That would have been a great move for Iggy, especially if that's what he wants to do, getting
right.
the coaching, being there, being on the Curry. I think that would have been a great move. Been a great opportunity for him. Man, when we come back, we're gonna break just, but I'm going to ask you about this Charlotte Hornets coaching thing.
Yeah.
I think we got a problem.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. But we're going to talk about that in just a minute.
Wow.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Make a change.
Change in my life.
I'm trying to say, just listen to the words of this song and think about the Charlotte Hornets.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Come on, man.
If family can't talk to you, who can talk to you?
That's true.
That's
come on,
right.
We family,
that's
baby.
Right.
I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to give
talk
it to you.
To.
Now, don't nobody take this hot take sitting to Mike.
I know.
I know, right?
Hey, Fred.
Mike Pitt.
Hey, Fred, this is K-Mac. I ain't got nothing to do with this.
Fred, I'll be there next month. Bro. Don't do me like that.
I know.
Don't do me
you
like that.
You want to go through the lyrics.
Let's go through the lyrics. Let's see how they apply to Michael.
I'm going to make a change.
That's what you said last year.
For once in my life.
Okay.
It's going to feel real good.
I don't know.
I'm going to make a change. Going to make it right.
Steve Atkinson didn't feel that way.
Maybe he just said he had a second. Yeah, a second thought. The fact that he's coaching on this winning culture.
Right.
Why should I leave this? Even though I can go run my own game, maybe I should wait till the right fit. And maybe the Hornets is just not the right fit given what I'm leaving.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Let's have a quick state of the union on the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay.
Did they make the playoffs?
They played the play-in game, so technically they made the playoffs.
But
it was a play-in game.
Right.
Right.
But they got ball.
Right.
Like you actually touted him as being probably MVP.
Yes.
Last year.
No, I said Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, Rookie, I'm sorry.
He won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hashtag so, Reese is right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, things looking up. You got Bridges.
Bridges, right? Yes.
Well, temporarily.
With his best season.
Coming off his best season.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you fired Mike Borrego, who was there for 3-4 years.
And he should have got fired. Even you said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like he should have got the axe.
Right.
So, Mike Borrego gets fired. You got a great GM, Mitch, is there.
Mm-hmm.
Great staff.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like we're going backwards again.
Yep.
We have no coach. Small market team.
Mm-hmm.
We have no money.
No money.
And now, with that being said, you got these superstars. You got to pay them.
Right.
And you just said something about Bridges.
Right. Hornets are in danger of losing him because he's kind of priced himself out of the team's plans.
Okay.
Back then, you didn't want me.
Now I'm hotballing. Yeah.
Now I'm hot. You can't afford me. Something about that value.
But I would agree with this. See, like, it's probably reflective of all the teams down there. Like, they have a crust of doing the right things, but we can never get over that hump. Mm-hmm. Even with the Panthers.
Well, the Panthers been to the Super Bowl twice.
Well, that's true.
See what I'm saying? They
That's true. Okay.
They did it, failed,
all right.
Mm-hmm. Came back and did it again.
But back in the day, in the original Hornets,
they were good. That's right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But
grandmama days.
With Larry Johnson. But now, I don't know. I think they have a young team. They have a young nucleus. Bridges is good. P.J. Harrison can be good. Mm-hmm. I love the kid from Louisville. I can't remember his name, but and Gordon Hayward, I think they made a big mistake by paying him all that money because he's not the Gordon Hayward he was when he was in Boston.
So now they stuck with that.
They stuck with that.
So
unless he comes back and plays like he played when he was in Utah and Boston, that'll be good.
And now you can't get a coach.
Mm.
Okay, right.
So is it money or is it leadership? Because Memphis is a small market team, but they seem to be creating some success.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep.
I mean, because Memphis ain't got more money in the metropolitan area than Charlotte.
No, no, they do not.
That's right.
I can tell you that right now. I can tell you that right now. So is it leadership, ownership? I mean, we all family here now. I'm just asking questions.
I mean, you have to ask your question.
Don't do me like you did Charles now. Don't come at me, Barkley. Don't do me like that. I'm just asking questions. I ain't calling you out your name, none of that. I ain't saying
no. I think it is a discussion to have as to why be mediocre.
Oof.
That's I don't want the mediocre. I don't want the mediocre. Why be that?
Iggy.
Because you have the chance to, and the resources. I guess. I mean, don't
or. Do you have the resources?
Well, or if you want to spend that level of money. Because the problem is we won't get any superstars.
Is it about money?
It's about fit. And, you know, again.
So Scottie Pippen not a fit.
No. Maybe people just don't want to. They don't want to work with Mike because he's so demanding. That could be it, too.
But you ain't paying nothing.
No, I'm talking about the coaches, man. The coaches don't get fair market price.
Yeah, but you got to give me some tools to work with.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You want me to be an F1 Formula car race driver, but you keep giving me these doggone Priuses.
So other words, Bubba Wallace will never win because of NASCAR because of that?
Okay, let's take NASCAR.
Mm.
Okay.
You think the drivers make NASCAR or you think the teams make NASCAR?
I think it's really interesting because I had this conversation with somebody yesterday regarding Formula One. The technology makes Formula One.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Mercedes-Benz is winning all the time. All of a sudden, Ferrari, like, we got y'all. We got some secret sauce.
That's right.
So, with NASCAR, right. I think it's the drivers, I think, more so than... You think it's the cars?
I think it's the team. Well, first of all, they tried to make it where it's so uniform.
Yeah.
Where it's only the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a combination of the teams, the money they put into the team, right, to have the best of the best, I mean the best spotters, the best
the
best crew members,
right,
and the best drivers.
And the best drivers, yeah.
A driver with a mediocre crew,
yeah,
you won't win because you keep losing. You lose time at every stop.
I mean, so
full package.
So if you look at them, get a couple examples real quick. So Bubba has been competitive in most of those races, but he can't get.
Because I think the competitive nature is because of how good Bubba is.
Gotcha. Okay, that's fair. Okay,
If it was a driver of less caliber, I don't think it would be a waste of everybody's money.
So the conversation, if we're going to kind of peel it back. So Michael Jordan is involved in all these conversations we've having.
Right.
Yes.
Greatest player, one of the greatest players ever played, if not the. Mm-hmm. But from an ownership perspective, Mac, you were saying that that's just some room of improvement, I'll put it that way.
Something's going on there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything necessarily about him because I never for once convinced myself that he was some you know, fantastic juggernaut of a leader or something like that, you know. But it's about building a team, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about building a team and being successful with the team members and the people that you build, the people that you put around you. And the one thing Michael Jordan did so wonderfully when he played the game of basketball, he brought the team along with him, right? I'm not going to say he was the best teammate.
Mm. Oh, no. People say that all the time. Yeah. So, I mean, we read the stories.
We read about that.
Yeah, and all that, right?
So if that same mentality and approach is how you lead your business in these areas.
Interesting.
I'm not so sure you get the results you're looking for.
Interesting.
Well, that's all I'm gonna say.
Well, first of all, there's a couple of things. So when the Bobcats, when that kind of that debacle with this fell apart, and Michael took ownership, he had to win the city back too, because the city had pretty much the
they
so
the state too,
right? Exactly. but you know, as of late, Rozier, the guy I'm thinking about. And with Bob coming in there, I think you can see, man, for this past season, you can see the energy back in the building.
I get it.
So I think Thursday is going to be important
in
terms of who they draft. I think that it got to be one of those guys where you say, and they're like 13 for like, they're way down. Where are they? 13?
Yeah.
It got to be one of those drafts that, oh, that makes sense.
Who who's the face of the franchise? On and off the court.
They're trying to make Melo be the face, but
who is it? When you think of,
they don't have one.
That's right. Mm-mm.
Right.
That's
exactly right. No, they don't have one. That's good. That's a good point. They don't have one.
So without that,
I mean, they don't have a Steph Curry, right?
You don't have a face. You don't have an idea. Please don't do me like you did, Charles.
Here we go.
You don't have an identity, right? Certain things for to be at that next level.
Yeah.
When I mention your name and your team, I got to be, something should come to my mind immediately.
Yeah.
And it can't be Michael Jordan in the fact that he used to play real well.
Right. I can tell you this. I can tell you this. The fate of the franchise over the next 10 years depends on what Melo Ball does when he's up for his contract. If they don't keep him there, then they're going to lose a whole lot because people probably want to come play with him, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be a crucial, and that's next year, I think.
You have to attract people to come play with him.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's where it's going.
What is it going to take to do that?
Yeah. Good point.
They got 13, 15, and 45.
Picks. Okay. This week. Mm-hmm.
So maybe they can
find everything you need about the sports shop. Mm-hmm. We got the injured one, Pam Thompson Smith. The firm.
The injured one.
How are you, Pamela?
I'm doing okay.
You look so sad.
Well, your foot hurt. My foot hurt.
I don't feel sorry for
you. I know you don't. I got a problem with that.
Sprain the wrist on the pillow. Anyway, we got Graham behind the glass. What's up, G Money?
What up?
How you living? You good?
Man, we're thriving and surviving.
Yeah. Well, let's see. How's the poll question going?
Oh, we don't have one.
What?
We don't have a poll question. Oh, gosh. Oh, that's my first mishap of the day. Oh,
gosh. Where's Victoria when you need her?
I mean, I could.
No, we're good.
I could ask, was Clay Thompson knocking over that woman block or charge? Go back and review the film.
Peanut butter and jelly, whatever. Long as they're the year, something. I don't care. It is what it is, man. I don't care.
We were doing so good before that.
I know. I'm a Room 5, Adam Levine. You were vibing for a minute.
We were 4 for 4 on the music selection.
And then you fumbled. My man. Man, we get a chance to do this each and every week. This week is no different. We get a chance to do something I like. We get a chance to talk to John X. Miller with a little X Factor.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's up, John?
What's up,
good
John?
Good morning,
how
John.
How's everybody? How's everybody in the great state of North Carolina?
We're doing great in the great state.
We had a debate earlier. We were trying to figure out if we were in the Northern Hemisphere.
Come on, now. That's third grade geography. Right?
But well, because it is the longest day of the year, so
man, I ain't been in third grade in a long time.
Very long time.
It's all good.
That's good. Yeah, I remember some things that happened in third grade. Matter of fact, I want to forget some things that happened.
There you go.
So, wow. I got you on grade. That.
Yeah. What you got for us today, John?
Man, well, I heard y'all talking about the Hornets, man. You know, they are missing the X Factor, you know?
That's right.
Kitty Atkinson, you know, with the Warriors say, no, I'm going to stay here, right? Yeah. I'd rather get a ring than get run over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's a smart move on his part. But, you know, what, the Hornets got 3 first-round draft picks or close? Right?
Got two first-rounders, 13th and 15th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 45.
And second round.
So it's like, come on now. You got... You already got a Ball, right? And so, you know, he's an all-star. And so you need to find some kids who are going to be, you know, reliable starters for the next, you know, 4 or 5 seasons, at least, until they get through that rookie contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I saw some mock drafts and, Walker Kessler was on that list, right? And it's like, what, is he a good fit for Carolina? For the Hornets. So I'm just kind of skeptical. Have been skeptical if the Hornets really know what they're doing.
Now, John, you weren't being serious, were you? You saw Walker?
No, I did. Yeah, oh my. No, I did. Gosh. I did see a couple of draft boards that had Kessler at 15 and had another kid. At
13.
Yeah, at 13.
Yo,
Patrick Baldwin.
Yeah, I was thinking they take both of those 13-15 trade, get that to Orlando for the number one pick. The Orlando trade down, and then but that'll be they have number one pick in the draft. They would do that, but then I'm thinking like who would they pick? They, the Smith, mm-hmm. Jabari Smith, Apollo. Mm-hmm. Would that help that team? I mean, that's you know, you gotta play those games during this time of year when you're talking about draft, you know, potential of these guys coming mm-hmm. out of college. So. We'll see.
Goodness gracious, that would be.
Well, it's you know, it's hard to you know, it's hard to gauge you know what some of these younger players are going to do, man, because they only play one and done,
right?
So you don't know what kind of you know work ethic they have. You don't know what kind of mentality they have as far as trying to become professional. Right. You know, everybody's got skills, right? But what do you do with those skills, right? Mm. And so, yeah, I just think that one of the problems with Charlotte is they just don't draft well, and they haven't, and that's before MJ.
That's right? True. Historically, they that's have not. MJ. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you look at championship teams, they always draft well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good example is Golden State. Right. And so, mm-hmm. but they're not the only ones. You know. So drafting is really important, and I know that you know MJ is loyal to his people. But you know, if you get people turning down your head coaching job in the NBA, right? Something
right.
is not necessarily
well,
relevant.
Right.
You know,
that was K-Man's part the whole time. I hadn't really thought about it until he brought it up. Like, I was like, wow.
Something's wrong.
Maybe it's kind of hard to work for Michael. I don't know. That could be part of it.
That could be part of it, right? I mean, that really could be part of it.
Yeah.
But that also means that it goes down throughout the organization. It's not just him.
Right.
We're talking to John S. Miller. We rock with John each and every Tuesday, same place, same time. John, I'm really curious about this particular book you talked about a grandmother of Juneteenth about five lessons learned regarding that. Talk to us about that.
Yes, you know everybody knows that the Juneteenth was started in Texas because mm-hmm. of what happened, you know, after the Civil War, and so the woman who's primarily responsible for having Juneteenth become a national holiday, her name is Opal Lee. And so we had the occasion to do a commentary with the woman who wrote a children's book about Opal Lee. And her name is Alice Duncan.
Yeah.
And she wrote a book called What It Means to Be Free, The True Story of the Grandmother of Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. And so the thing that she talked about and I've seen various interviews with her is that we need to pass on the history of what happened to other children so they understand the significance of what happened. And so Juneteenth is built on five principles, right? According to Opal. Mm-hmm. And one of those principles are reflection, meaning reflect every year on the, and express your gratitude every year about what Juneteenth stands for. Then it's celebration, you know, celebrate it because it's something worth celebrating, just like we celebrate the 4th of July, right?
Sure, sure.
You know, we need to celebrate that, particularly as Black people, even more so.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing she talks about is have a jubilee, right? Celebration in Black culture, particularly back then, when they found out was celebration, was a jubilee. And so, yeah, throw on the barbecue, you know, here in Texas, you talk about barbecue and brisket, right? And so everywhere these last 3 days, you know, you could find numerous celebrations where food was a centerpiece of what was going on. And so people were feasting the whole time. Lee actually used to say, you know, Juneteenth is about brisket and barbecue and the jamboree of celebrating and fellowship. And the last two things she talked about was wisdom and inclusion.
Mm.
And so passing the wisdom on to younger children and including everybody in the celebration, Black, white,
right.
Latina, everybody, so they can understand the significance of what true freedom really was. Because, you know, we weren't free. Black folk weren't free at the Emancipation Proclamation.
That's right.
They were after Juneteenth. And most people don't recognize this, too, is that when the general arrived in Galveston with 6,000 soldiers to enforce Juneteenth, right, to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation, 4,000 of those Union troops were Black troops. They were Buffalo soldiers, and they were other soldiers who had fought in the Civil War,
right,
who had traveled to Texas to help free the slaves.
Wow.
And so all this knowledge and wisdom needs to be included in our history books and in our conversations with our young people, particularly young people who need to understand that freedom is not free and we are not free as of yet.
Wow.
So it's a great book. It's a picture book for children, and I've actually seen it, and, you know, it would be a great gift for young people. because it would tell them the story of Juneteenth in pictures. Mm.
Wow. That's awesome. We're talking to John X. Miller of the X Factor. Speaking of principle number two, celebration, there was a big celebration in Texas on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that happened in Dallas was they had a huge celebration at something called Fair Park, which mm-hmm. is the park in Dallas that the Texas State Fair is held, right? And that's where the Cotton Bowl is located. Mm. And it's in South Dallas, which is predominantly black section of Dallas. And they had a festival where food was the centerpiece. And even though it was 100 degrees, right, we were out there celebrating.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Because we understood the significance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's in the Fair Park Hall of Fame is the original copy of the General Order Number 3 that the general brought to Galveston to free the slaves in Texas. And so I'm a history buff, right? So I didn't get a chance to see it yet, but it's on display until July, and I will go by and see it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's hugely important if we have an artifact like that,
right,
at least to see it and understand the significance of it. But as I said, there were parties everywhere. Matter of fact, on Saturday, Opal Lee, 95 years old, she still walks.
Wow.
And every Juneteenth, she walks 2.5 miles, right? And because those 2.5 miles signify the 2.5 years that the people who were enslaved in Texas were not free because that general order had not reached Texas. And so, you know, that 2.5 miles is significant because I don't know if you guys realize this, but in September 2016 to January 2017, she walked 1,400 miles, right, from Fort Worth
to Washington.
Wow. Yeah, 1,400 miles. And she walked 2.5 miles a day.
Incredible.
2.5 miles a day over 6 months to get to Washington to spur on Congress to make this legislation possible. And last year, we know President Joe Biden signed it into law. And so this woman's dedication and focus and dedication not only to children now, but to children in the future propelled us to a national holiday that we really should celebrate. Because it is more about our freedom than the 4th of July.
Wow.
Outstanding.
Awesome.
Powerful.
We're talking with John X. Miller on the X Factor, same as we do each and every week. And real quickly, John, we're up against it, but I wanted to get you to comment on Kurt Flood, the Kurt Flood case that was before the Supreme Court in 1972, and why it matters so much in his case against the Major League Baseball. And then just thinking about where we are today.
I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, Bill Rhodes, you know, our friend and columnist for Antscape talks about, you know, the Kurt Flood decision, you know, kind of freeing the slaves as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because prior to that, Major League Baseball had a reserve clause and players were tied to their teams until the team decided they wanted to trade a player or to cut them. And so Kurt Flood took that case to the Supreme Court, and even though it lost before the court, it prompted Major League Baseball Players Association and Marvin Miller to push and push and push until there was that reserve clause was taken out of baseball's baseball's makeup. And so in 1975, an arbitrator ruled that for the first time that two pitchers could negotiate as free agents. And so that's when free agency started in baseball. And so Kurt Flood, even though he sacrificed his career for that push to the Supreme Court, he opened the door for all these players now, particularly pitchers, right, who make the most money in baseball, to make these huge contracts. And so Kurt Flood sacrificed his career for the greater good. Mm. And as Bill Roten likes to say, you know, he helped free the slaves in Major League Baseball.
Mm. Man, as always, John, it's a pleasure having you on, man. We get so much information, especially I should have known around Juneteenth we were gonna have tons of things to talk
about.
That's
right.
Matter of fact, we can do it again next week.
Well, you know, we need to remember because as soon as we forget, man, you know, there's gonna be people who want to make it insignificant because they don't want us to be free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
All right, John. That's awesome. Appreciate you, my
Thank
friend.
You so
appreciate
much.
You, man. Take care.
All right, now everybody have a great week. Now,
yeah. Me too.
All
right,
that was strong there.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Yeah. Graham, is Mike still on?
Yes, sir. Mike is still on.
Should have known he was going to hold for Pam.
I miss Mike.
Oh, Mike and Gary?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got Mikey Carey who wants to chime in. I'm sure he wants to say hello to Pam.
Hello, Pam.
Well, hi, Michael.
I would have come in to greet you in person, but following the fly jock in the Dallas airport, I come down with the
road. Okay.
Fly jock. I was all in with my mother. Hey, I'm glad he mentioned Kurt Flood. Kurt Flood made it all possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
He did. I remember that. I remember Andy Goldschmidt. Those other guys made millions. And Kurt Flood essentially ended his career taking on the man.
You're probably right about that, Michael. Just be honest with you.
He did.
100%.
You know what they say, man. You know what they say. The pioneers get the arrows and the settlers get the land. Remember that. And by the way, Reese.
Yes, sir.
I got up from a deathbed.
Uh-oh.
You acknowledge. Steph's great. I know you try to arrange it all to get lost in the Juneteenth celebration.
He tried, Michael. He tried.
I think on this show, I think we need to acknowledge. That finals MVP thing,
yes,
it's pointless, man.
Yeah.
Jack Sikma's got one of them.
Does he really?
Look it up.
No, I believe you. I mean, you.
Come on, he didn't need that finals MVP validation.
Well, in some people mind, he had to have it to be, yeah, to validate.
Reese, you know how we say down at Pelham, those people are stupid.
Stupid.
Why does he know about Pella?
Donald Pella.
Anyway, listen, man. I know I'm up against it. I got to go back on the oxygen tank. Y'all have a great
week. Feel
better. We had a good weekend celebration, and I'll be back at it. Don't call it a comeback.
All right, baby.
All right.
Get well, man.
Get well.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Why he know about Pella, Alabama?
Man, Mike.
I've been to Pella, Alabama.
Really? You been to Pelham?
I'll be in Pelham this week at some point.
Man,
yeah.
What a drive. You didn't enjoy the drive?
Oh, he stayed in Pelham?
Where? I didn't stay there.
I said he stayed there.
Oh, no. No. Oh, what are you talking about?
Oh, I know.
Look at him trying to get me in trouble.
He trying to get you.
I went to a funeral.
He tried to get you.
Yeah, I was going to fall for that one.
Yeah, he tried to get you.
No, I went to a funeral there.
Hold up.
Okay.
I'm like, he stayed in Pelham.
Come back on
that
Saturday.
That was Birmingham.
We having ourselves a great time. And listen, stop tweeting at me. I'm not saying Michael Jordan's a bad guy. I didn't say you're going to get it. Reese said that.
He said that exact same thing.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, man. We got so many things to talk about. Come back on the other side. Hey, there's some hockey going on. We can talk about that next.
Let's do it.
Next.
For sure. Reese K. Mack, Pam Thomas-Smith, my man G Money back there behind the glass. Let's go, baby.
Relive the best moments of the Sports Shop on the Best of Sports Shop podcast on WRALSportsFan.com or wherever you get your podcasts.